Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Mac news, and it's crap, as ever. We knew it was, but I can't be hearing 5S anymore. We're not going to talk about 5S. We're not going to do any of the usual stuff. We're going to try something a little bit different, but kind of just touching on the news, perhaps. Joining me to do this experiment, which could go horribly wrong, I've got a fantastic panel. Starting top left, Carl Madden.
Hello, so I'm looking forward to getting my 5S. So there you go.
You're looking forward to your 5S. Jolly good. Are you seriously going upgrading straight away?
If it's worthwhile, yeah, I probably will.
Okay.
I always do, because I buy my phones outright. I normally sell phone I'm getting rid of like for above half price. So I only spend like 150 quid to get the new phone.
Oh, well, fair enough. Blind fanboys akimbo. next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing, mate? Thank you for stepping in at the last minute, mate.
Oh, sure thing. I'm glad to help out. And I'll give an apology right up front. I am finishing editing an article as the show is live. And
you got to do what you got to do, mate.
Yeah. So if I seem distracted every now and then,
it's okay.
I'm really working on an article and not looking at naughty websites.
Talking of distracted every now and then.
Watch his hand movements. That's the key.
It's Grumpy Green. How you doing, mate?
Grumpy.
Yeah. You know you can't be grumpy here, mate, because I'll only take the piss out of you even worse. How you doing, pal?
Oh, not too bad. Thank you very much.
Good, mate. Now, you published a podcast.
What?
Yes, William
so
Green.
Surprised.
William Green, podcaster. No longer podcaster. A lie.
Podcaster. I was in the top 10 on iTunes this week.
Good lad. That's all the new subscribers have had to resubscribe. Because it drops them after 6 weeks. Fantastic, mate. I mean, I there was loads of people tweeting out that they could not believe it, but loads of other people saying, yes, it's true, it's there. Well done.
An actual fact.
The British Mac community was served. Well done, mate. And last but by no means least, Kelly Gamont. How's it going?
Hey, Ewan.
We're talking again now.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, okay. Right. Welcome to the show, mate. You got no coffee. I thought you were very dedicated not having coffee.
Yeah, still no coffee.
I wouldn't be doing water. This without beer, so.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but we'll see how it goes.
The Week in Mac. Well, the first thing we can talk about is the fact that Logitech has released an absolutely super stunning, gorgeous piece of peripheral. It's the Ultra Thin mouse for Mac. It looks really nice. It's got the flat fronty toppy thing on it like the Mac mouse has got, but it's flat and it's wide and it's broad, and it comes in white or it comes in charcoaly blacky thing, and it looks really super gorgeous. $69 if you're in the States, £59 if you're in the UK. Anyone like that?
It's like my MiFi.
Yes, I get that.
It's a bit pucky, yeah.
Well, you did say pucky.
Pucky.
Right. Oh, pucky. This mouse pucks.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Oh, is that it? It looks
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's just it. I look at it and I don't go, ooh, that's sexy. I look at it and go, hey, Logitech has a flat mouse.
Oh, okay. I thought it looked quite cool.
Logitech do some nice stuff, but it's normally got
you
quite
said
a high...
doo-doo.
It has got
yeah,
normally
and you're
quite...
worried about me, pucky.
It has normally got quite a high price tag, though, unfortunately. Like, I do some nice keyboards yeah. and stuff as well.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the keyboard is really nice, and the peripheral, the old foldy screen. I mean, you've got it, haven't you, Kelly? The ultra thin keyboard for iPad.
I do. I like it very much.
That's super gorgeous. I mean, my question would be: are there any decent peripherals that Apple make? Do Apple make any decent peripherals, or is it all of it being done by other suppliers, other vendors?
I think that depends on what you want to consider a peripheral. If you're talking keyboards and mice sort of thing, the Magic Trackpad is fine. I've never been a big fan of Apple's keyboards. But like the Airport Extreme Base Station and Apple TV, those are pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've had glitches with my Airport Extreme. It for some apparent reason, it just suddenly drops everything and won't recognise anything apart from my wife's computer, which is the one that I used to set it up with. All of the others get no service at all until you completely reset it. Then it works for a few weeks, and then it goes back to only my wife's MacBook noticing it. And I've got to say, I hate the trackpad. I absolutely loathe the Magic Trackpad. I bought one and it lasted 2 weeks and I hate it. I was getting pains in my wrist from having my wrist angled back constantly to use it. And I wanted to cut a strip in the desk so it would sink flat into the desk. I might get a bit more use of it if I did that, but I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
Don't mind the trackpad. It's the keyboard that drives me up a wall.
What is it about the keyboard that drives you up the wall? Because I really like it. I like the spacing of the keys seems right ergonomically. It sits really... I mean, you've got smaller hands than me, so maybe...
Well, partly that, but, you know, actually, it's the action of the key, and it doesn't matter whether it's the Bluetooth keyboard or the MacBook Pro actual keyboard on all the laptops. That keyboard drives me nuts. I hate the action of the keys. I feel like I have to work so hard to push them. It really makes me unhappy. So, I use one of these jobbies now, and it makes me very happy.
How's that less effort mentally?
What?
I don't understand how that keyboard feels less effort to you mentally.
Because on the Apple keyboard, I feel like I have to press really hard to make sure that the key gets pressed. And the action on these is actually less, there's less resistance in it. So when I go to press a key, I get regular follow through on it with the action of my finger. So if I were to sit and type an article, like an article for a blog post or something on the Apple keyboard, when I'm done, I feel like I can feel the strain of having done a bunch of typing on this keyboard. And on that other keyboard, I don't have that problem.
So that's the only time that following through is a good thing.
Yes. So they use simmer down.
Christ.
What?
Yeah, that told you, Jeff.
Oh, it's Jeff. Yeah. It takes a firm hand to keep Jeff in line.
Did it just get hot in here?
And you got that one for free.
You kinda did. So God bless America. But I also have always used a keypad and I was never like I started on a PowerBook 1400. That was the beginning of my laptop computer experience. So I'm used to using a trackpad. I'm used to it being there and I'm used to making that work. So I don't mind the trackpad as much because when I don't have anything else connected to my computer, which is a decent amount of the time, I'm using the trackpad. So to me, it feels like more of a jump to use a mouse and then use a trackpad for when I'm out and about and then use a mouse the rest of the time. I find it, hard to switch back and forth. So if I'm just using a trackpad all the time, it's a lot easier for me. Your mileage may vary.
The chat room's agreeing with you. There's a lot of people here saying that the trackpad's really good. I mean, I don't mind the trackpad that's built into my MacBook Pro. I think that works really, really well. And if I put the trackpad here in front of me, what tends to piss me off is the angle of it because of the fact it's got the batteries in. If it was flat, routed into the desk or something, maybe then maybe it's a bit better, but.
There's probably an accessory that will do that for you.
What, will route out my desk?
Yeah, chisel.
No, that would lift the front so that maybe there it's up off the desk a little bit, but it's up off the desk at a flat angle, like parallel to the desk instead of at a wedge to the desk.
I just got some really well-trained woodworm.
There you go.
That come in and just
that would work too.
Take it out. Yeah, that'd be good. Nano woodworm. Who else has got Carl, have you got a trackpad?
Yes, I've got a trackpad. I don't use it that often because I mainly use it for my Mac Mini, which is stuck on the telly, home theater cinema thing. But Apple had a bit of a... They've had some dodgy past, like that round mouse they did, the proper puck one.
The round one back at the G3,
That was awful.
The iMac mouse. Mm. Yeah, it was horrible.
Mm. I mean, I came along...
It's an unfortunate moment.
When I got like my first Mac, it was Magic Mouse. By then, and I love this little Magic Mouse. A lot of people slagging it off, saying it's not very good, it's not responsive, but for me, it's perfect.
Are we talking about the Magic Mouse with a little nipple on it, or the Magic Mouse that's current?
The totally flat one.
Yeah, I love that. I love that mouse.
I think they called the previous one the Apple Bluetooth Mouse or something like that.
Wasn't it the Mighty Mouse? And it got into trouble. It got trouble over the Mighty Mouse trademark.
Yeah.
Was it Mighty Mouse at that point?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
And then you had to flip it over and rub it across a piece of paper to get all the junk out of the trackball.
Yeah.
Just like having its tummy rubbed.
Yes. I took mine back to the Apple store to a genius, and all he did was get out a cloth and go for like 3 minutes. And then he said, no, it's fine there.
There you go.
It. So I've got to do that every 3 weeks. Yes. Rub it like a lunatic. Greeny, what's your favourite Apple peripheral? The one that actually works.
And there's your show title, ladies and gentlemen.
No one does it better.
I'd probably say the Magic Trackpad.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a trackpad man.
But listen, Ewan.
Yeah.
You're going to lose an audience now if we're just talking about peripherals. Isn't this a bit boring? I mean, can't we sex it up a bit? Is there nothing else we can talk about rather than Apple peripherals?
Go away. Off you go, mate. You pick a topic.
Let's just talk about stroking your nipple. Come on.
Fiercely.
I don't know. I like the Magic Trackpad. I broke mine. If anybody questions the fact that the trackpads on your MacBook Pro or your Magic Trackpad thingy are made of glass, it's actually the truth. I cracked mine right down the centre.
Oh, dear.
Yes. So I took it apart.
How many years bad luck for that?
I don't know. It's still going.
Which one?
What, the bad luck?
No, the old Magic Trackpad. I think the Magic Trackpad's pretty cool. I like it.
The external one?
Yeah. When I'm at work, I have my MacBook Pro like on a raised level. So then I have like a separate keyboard and Magic Trackpad on my desktop. And it works pretty well.
Now, I dread to ask this. How on earth did you manage to crack that? I don't want to know the answer to this, but go ahead.
No, I'm kind of impressed. I want to know.
Yeah.
It was sticking. You know, you got left click and right click.
Yeah.
And what actually happens is when you right click, there is a little rubber, or left click, it's two little rubber bottomy bits that act as the switches. And mine kept sticking. So I read this article saying, you know, fix your Magic Trackpad in 5 minutes. So I did what it said. I took it apart. And as you pry the plastic back off the Magic Trackpad, I obviously was not forceful, but I bent it, basically. And as I bent it, it cracked the glass part. And I think from a design point of view, it could be better because now the little rubber bits fall out. You know, the things that you do left and right click. So I think sort of functionally, it's fantastic. From a design point of view, aesthetically, it's lovely. But from a sort of functional design point of view, they could maybe look at changing the way that the left and right click works.
I thought you were going to say you hit it with a hammer or you sat on it or something.
No, didn't do anything like
nothing that. Nothing that sexy.
I was sitting there talking on the phone. I thought, I'll just sort this out while I got the chance. And I did.
Now, Windrider in the chat room says, the best Apple peripheral has got to be the FireWire EyeSight camera and microphone.
Still got one of them.
That's beautiful.
Now, I've always wanted one of those, and I've never had one. And you can't get them for love nor money on eBay now without paying out a fortune. They are coolness personified.
What gets me, though, right, is with them, is you've got this thing that's like a tube of Smart is cut in half, and it's a bit faster than that, I suppose. And so all of that technology now has been reduced into a tiny thing on your computer. What's in there? What was in there? What's going on?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
Kelly in the chat room says, Greeny clicked upload on another podcast and the trackpad couldn't believe what happened, which is why it cracked.
That totally makes sense.
You've got to say that kind of stuff, Kelly. Don't just type it in the chat room.
I was letting him talk, that's all. Because I too really like the EyeSight camera and I didn't want to mess up the conversation because the EyeSight camera was really cool. It was super, super awesome. And I miss it a little bit every time I'm trying to adjust video on my computer because they call the one that comes on your computer the built-in EyeSight camera. I'm like, no, an EyeSight camera is this other little thing that has little lights around it so that you don't look weird in the FaceTime and everything. And so I was...
Are we looking at it through rose-tinted spectacles, though? Because, I mean, it's a 1.3-megapixel camera, and it surely looks as bad as everything else that's 1.3-megapixels now. In comparison.
It's entirely possible, but, I mean, come on.
Come on, Jeff.
It's not that it was 1.3-megapixel. Because, well, that's what we could get at the time. More about everything else that it was. The design, the shape of it was just cool. The fact that you could turn the bezel and close off the lens... And just it was just a really cool product.
And the period in which it was produced.
Thoughtful.
It was the rest of the market. Yeah.
It was thoughtfully designed in a time when a lot of things were ugly. I mean, does anyone else remember the Logitech Quick Cam?
Yeah.
That little golf ball on the triangle base. I mean, that thing was a slab of beige nonsense. And it was ugly. I mean, it might still work, but it wasn't pretty about it. So this was one of those instances where Apple came out and did something themselves for themselves, more or less, because you couldn't really do it. You couldn't really hook one up to most Windows machines. And it was, and like Jeff was saying, it was really thoughtfully designed. When you twisted the front edge, you got a way to close the shutter. You could also, it had the lights around it, and it had a nice little clip so that it would hook to your machine. So it was one of those moments where before Apple was really commonly doing things that were beautifully designed and looked really awesome, and yet on top of all of that were super functional. This was one of those initial things where people kind of who didn't know Apple was still around were like, wait, Apple's still around? And they made that because that's kind of awesome.
I mean, it was made illegal in Europe.
That was?
Yeah.
Go on.
What?
Yeah, it was full of really bad arsenic.
Oh, or that's right. The chemicals that were used to make it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
There was arsenic in the glass, wasn't there? That was one of the issues that we had.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah.
And in the wires.
Mm.
And they had Smarties in the tube as well. That's another reason.
Well, only Smarties have the answer.
Apple annoyed me this week a little bit, you know.
Oh. that's going some.
Well, yes. I pushed out their update for their Apple TV and it broke Plex Connect. Really upset me.
Isn't that amazing?
However, in the space of 24 hours, the clever people out there found another hack to get around it.
Oh, what did they do?
Are you saying it was a cracked unit, was it?
No, what it was, because the exploit, how Plex Connect works, is it takes advantage of the fact that I think the trailer app points to...
Trailer's app, right? Yeah.
Yeah, on the ATV, points to a website. So it's a HTTP website, and when they done the update, they changed everything to HTTPS, so everything has to be certificated now, otherwise it doesn't work. So the way they got around it, the fix, the hack, whatever you want to call it, is you create your own certificate on your Mac, and then you point the software from GitHub or whatever it is, and that still now tricks it, because it now thinks that your certificate is good enough to run the Plex app through the Trailers app, so it still works.
Blimey.
But also, the other thing that annoyed me is, of course, it comes out global. They released this global update, supposedly. Us in Britain get one app, FIFO. That's all we get. The lucky Americans get Disney channels, or the Weather Channel, not sure what that's about. And
well, the so weather, I'm presuming.
We don't
You're
know how
unclear on
like
the
this.
Weather Channel?
Yeah, what's that about?
You have a Weather Channel, too. It's called a window.
I can't believe you've got an entire
ours
channel.
Higher resolution.
Just for
welcome
weather.
To cable television, sweetheart.
It's...
And you've got something called the Smithsonian Channel, which I guess is documentaries.
Which is stupendously awesome because I'm a giant
God,
nerd.
You have to
but,
watch
yeah.
the Star Trek documentary.
So, but we haven't got the Smithsonian Channel. Is that what you're saying, Carl?
However, if you use the pick,
we'll watch it together.
Right, here you go. Mac users, you need to know this thing.
Well, if you use the pick I did on the big show last night and you set your Apple TV to the location of US, you can get all this stuff. Well, not all of it, because some of them you need like extra accounts to get the content. But the ones that are free in the States, you can also have access to. And I'll make it my pick today if we're doing picks later.
I think we should, definitely, because it was more of a Mac pick than it was a big show pick, really, but... But it works on all devices, though, doesn't it?
It works on everything.
Yeah, okay. So we'll do that later, then. Stay tuned and listen to this boring, turgid crap that we're doing, according to Greeny, about peripherals. So,
well, it's not the most exciting of topics.
Do you know what the cheapest plug-and-play camera was for the Mac about the time that the iSight came out?
It was the Orange Micro iBot.
Nope. It was the Xbox 360 cam. The Xbox 360 came with 1.3 megapixels, manual focus, and it was plug and play on a Mac. It was the only other camera that you could shove it in the Mac, and it just instantly worked with no drivers. No software, no nothing.
Mine might have needed
firewire drivers. Yeah, see. Go on, Granny, what was that? So,
boring. If this was a pub quiz, I could have told that. I knew that.
Did you? Good man.
I did.
Good man. Excellent. SimCity has been released for Mac this week. It is allegedly, according to some stories, it has numerous issues, unquote. Those are the ones that are being kind. If you're not being kind, which is two are, they're saying SimCity on the Mac is totally unplayable. A spokesman for Maxis said, "You're holding it wrong."
It's the most boring game, though, isn't it?
I hate SimCity. I can't believe that they've peddled this shit for so many years and made so much money off it.
I'm kind of unclear on this. How do you really feel, Ewan?
No, yeah, there's certain games where you just look at it and you're kind of like, how much have you tripped out that game engine? How much have you not improved the gameplay on this? I mean, I've played SimCity going back to when it was first released, and it was an okay game at best. And the graphics have changed, yes, but the premise of it has changed, and the unplayability of it has never changed. And I just think that and The Sims as well, they're another one that pissed me off. That's never changed.
Maybe that kind of game is just not your jam.
It could be. Maybe you've struck on something there, Kelly. I don't like Sims.
Because they're at the risk of beating this particular combination of letters into the ground. They're simulation games. Like, that's kind of their point. It's what they do. So maybe, like, I mean, if you're on Facebook, like Farmville, you probably aren't super excited about. And the kind of stuff that those games are just doesn't work for you. And if you're an FPS guy, then yeah, SimCity feels like you're being punished.
Oh, okay, good point, good point. Does the new SimCity still have Godzilla, says Bookery? I have no idea whether that's the case or not. That's worth Googling, isn't it?
I didn't know the old one had Godzilla. Now I kind of want to play it.
It was a disaster setting, wasn't it? You can set up a disaster to hit your city.
SimCity was fun in black and white on the Mac Plus, says Bookery. And Batwinch says, huzzah, so snooze-some, SimCity. There we go.
Oh my goodness. I've never played Farmville.
No, I haven't either.
That much, but I know what it is, and it's a game where you go and, like, you have a farm and you plant stuff and you come back in an hour and your stuff is harvestable and then you harvest it and you swap it with your friends or something. I don't know.
Unless you buy Facebook the in-app purchase.
Yeah, I never I told Facebook to never ever send me any information about Farmville ever again. So now my Facebook feed is really quiet.
Good.
However, this week we also got on the Mac, we got Bioshock Infinite.
Now, that's another one. I never looked at Bioshock and wanted to buy it because I don't know if it's the title or what. What is Bioshock about?
Bioshock is a first-person shooter, effectively set in a subterranean city. And if you want to take advantage of their offer, they've got it for $6.99 at the moment on the Mac App Store.
Really?
Bioshock 1 and Bioshock 2 are $6.99, but Bioshock Infinity, the third one, is $27.99.
Is it worth $27.99, though, dude?
It's rated one of the best games ever. So
I've played the demo version on the Xbox, and it is very, as a game, before you get into mechanics or any of that stuff, it is a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. The entire world is built really well. The detail in it is super, super nice. Now that on the Mac side, anyway, now that the Apple displays are big and beautiful, it would really be nice to play Bioshock on a giant iMac. I think that would be really, really awesome. I haven't played all the way through it on the Xbox, but what I have played is super fantastic, and I like it a lot.
Still cheaper than buying the console game, says Batwinch, of course.
Well, maybe you can pick one up used, but yeah.
One of the pictures, I mean, the graphics that they've got on Mac App Store, I've just come around to look, are absolutely beautiful. And there's a picture there of George Washington with a Gatling gun as a false arm.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of gives away the tone. It gives us kind of the tone of the game away, really, doesn't it? But you're saying number one and number two are only
£6.99. On sale.
£6.99. I've only played Bioshock 1, and that was good. In Bioshock 2, you play one of the big daddies, one of the big armor-plated things, but I've not played it.
BioShock 1 and 2, all 5-star ratings. There is no 4-star ratings for any of them. That's a good sign, right?
Absolutely. $6.99, you can't go wrong, can you, really?
Yeah, because that means they don't even have the crabby people who give it 1-star for, like, I bought it to run on my iMac and my puck mouse won't control anything, 1-star.
Yeah, it's quite graphic intensive, so make sure you check the specs before you click the buy button.
The graphics do look beautiful. Wow.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And if you look on, you know, that place where they review games at GameSpot, on the Xbox, on the PC, and on the PlayStation 3, the average GameSpot score is 9 out of 10. And out of 100, the Metacritic score is 93 and 94 for both of them. Like, these aren't ratings you get by being a sucky game. This is not SimCity.
So, I mean, one of the other questions then is whether, I mean, is Mac gaming, is it any, even close to challenging any of the console platforms, or is it screwed, or is it, you know, is it in healthy state? Is it developing well? Is it nurturing well? I mean, it's,
if I can play BioShock on my Mac, then my Xbox is going to continue to collect dust. I'm not a super duper gamer, and particularly given what's happening with the Xbox None, I'm not interested in buying one. I'm not going to drop that kind of cash on something that I don't use very much anyway. So I'm also not getting a PlayStation. I don't have a Wii U. I have a plain old Wii, and all of those are fine. And I think that's going to be... So for me, the fact that these things are coming out from my computer is pretty awesome. I think part of it has to do with Apple going Intel, because now that Apple is on Intel, writing stuff that supports specific hardware, like an Intel chip, is pretty straightforward, because it, recompiling it isn't as big a deal from what I understand from people who develop. So.
Batwing says you should try Deadpool.
Okay.
Yes, unfortunately, no matter what the Mac does, it's never going to compete with the game PC gaming market, because this whole industry just like tripping out your PC with the maximum graphics.
Well,
Alienware doesn't make stuff for you.
I know it's not a new game, but Call of Duty Black Ops, I put on my Mac and I played that, and it on the highest graphics setting, it runs smooth as silk and it's beautiful. I can't think why you'd want it any bigger than that, but I'm well aware of the fact it's a couple of years old in terms of a game. But if you've got, you know, an old Mac Pro down to about 2009, 2010, and if you've got a MacBook Pro that's in the last 2 years, a lot of the games are pretty playable, surely.
Well, if they're written specifically for the Mac, obviously they are, but that's the thing. The ones that are built for the PC, you can spec them out, you can turn that res up to stupid levels. So when a brand new PC game comes out, even if you've got a massively tripped out PC, it still can't normally cope with the higher settings until about a year or so later, when new graphics cards come out to take advantage of the software that they've written for them.
There's a question from Bookery in the chat room here, which is a good one to throw out to everybody, because this kind of fits in nicely with the evolution of Mac Pro. He's saying, do you think that the new Mac Pro is going to be for gaming? Have Apple got a half an eye on the gaming market with the Mac Pro?
Not at the price, I should imagine.
No. Yeah, because you can't imagine upgrading anything in that little thing. It's just
you won't be able to.
Not likely. Yeah, I mean, who pops the back off an iMac to put a new graphics card in it?
Well, the new one's only the size of it.
Why would you want to upgrade it? I mean, dual high-end graphic cards, crazy processors, super fast RAM, super fast data storage. Yes, at some point people want to upgrade it, but still, out of the box, it's probably going to be one of the most powerful desktop systems you can get.
Now here's the thing, and tell me if I'm stupid here, because I'm willing to believe that I am. It's happened on occasion. I'm sitting looking at this thing at 9 inches. It's the size of a large jar of something from the supermarket and doesn't weigh anywhere near that. And I'm sitting thinking to myself, nearly all the places I go, I've got access to monitors. I can carry around Thunderbolt storage because I've got my little Seagate thing. I'm actually seriously considering dumping my laptop to buy a Mac Pro and carrying it around.
I'm sure bags will come out expressly for that.
You reckon?
that thing. Because as you say, it's so small.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Apple have developed it with half an eye on mobility?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. It's certainly more portable than some of their other portable machines in the past.
Take your MacBook Pro home, take your MacBook Pro to work.
Mm-hmm. You just imagine you hire someone in and they open their bag and they put that little cylinder on the desk and just plug everything into it. Yeah. They're going to get a lot of people coming up saying, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
That's true. People said that a lot about the Mac Mini, and I don't see a lot of people carting those around.
But that's not got the kind of, I mean, for me, my job is video and stills. So, I mean, I want high-end graphics processing, and the Mac Mini is nowhere near good enough for Final Cut when I'm talking about doing a rendering out a 1080p video. It takes so long. I mean, my Mac Pro is only a year old, and it still takes a long time to render. It gets very glitchy and very slow very quickly. I can't see that I would lose out. If they did a Mac, let's say if they had a Mac Pro that was the spec that the Mac Mini that's the spec that's a Mac Pro, I could see me carrying a Mac Mini around. Yeah,
some pros used to take their old Pro with them because it had the handles and everything.
There were bags for it.
I can just
put wheels on it and take it for a walk.
Well, they used to do a mobile system, didn't they, that had a Thunderbolt display in it, the 30-inch display, not the Thunderbolt. There used to be a cart that you could buy that had casters on it and back straps, and it had in it, when you folded it up, it had in it a 30-inch display. I mean, it weighed an absolute frigging ton, and it cost like 20 grand, but it was fully kitted out. And it had a sound system really in awesome. It and all sorts. But I reckon the new Mac Pro... A twin Mac Pro backpack looked like Rocketeer, says Bookery. It would. I reckon that's the only other problem that you're going to have with that Mac Pro. I reckon if the fans spin up on that, I reckon it could levitate. Get four of them together, you've got a quadcopter.
Put some popcorn kernels in the top and get your lunch.
See now, brilliant. Belts in the chat room says MacBook Pro Retina would be a better option. It runs Final Cut Pro rather well. The MacBook Pro Retina is not much of a processing spec leap from what I currently have. So I don't believe that it's going to run a lot of high-end video very easily through it. I'm not convinced.
When they bring out when the Pro machine is released, I reckon they're going to redo all their Pro... Well, not redo them, but they're going to certainly update all their Pro apps.
So, Final Cut... Is due an upgrade, perhaps a tweak of some description, 10.1 or something like that. Aperture's long gone, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice if they came up with Aperture that was something a bit more layer friendly rather than just being, effectively small enhancements and storage. It went ahead of Lightroom. They've just done Logic. Greeny, you like Logic, don't you? The new one?
Oh, yeah, superb. Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
And also, the other little jewel is MainStage 3, which I've bought.
Now, I've never done MainStage because I don't do any live work. But what do you get from that then?
It's fantastic. I do. If I roll up a gig, I like to know that my keyboard has got the sounds built in. That's nice, but that's the old way of working. It kind of breathes life into if you've got like a stage piano or something like that, or an older keyboard, and the sounds get a bit dated, and you want more authentic sounds. For 20 quid, you're basically buying yourself a new keyboard. It's fantastic. Really good.
So are you thinking of starting gigging again, mate?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You're gonna empty Telford Shopping Centre once more?
it's been a big part of me, and I haven't done it for a few years, and I'm missing it, so I'm going to go back to it.
Good man.
I'm not quitting my work, don't get me wrong. Just, the occasional gig at the weekend.
We always take the piss out of you, Greeny, but you can play the piano, I'll give you that.
Thank you, mate. Yes. So can you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Play, in inverted commas. Belts in the chat room says, Final Cut Pro will get an upgrade for 4K video, of course, because the new Mac Pro will run 3 4K video screens, which means also true. You're going to get a Thunderbolt upgrade because they're going to have to provide you with 4K screens.
So you think Apple 4K screens?
I think Apple can't not provide you with a 4K screen. Because who else has got Thunderbolt displays out there?
I don't really know what a 4K screen is. What's it mean?
4,000 lines across, mate. So...
Well, it's not, is it?
Is everyone else dropping sound?
No, I'm good.
It's 4,000 lines across, isn't it? That's supposed to be the 1080p mm-hmm. is 1,080 lines up, and 4K is four lines across.
Yeah. They changed it to make it, so otherwise it's 2,000 odd.
Yeah, it's not a huge upgrade.
And it doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, 4K. Can't charge you near as much if it's not that much better, right?
It's true.
Does that help, Greeny?
That's right.
So 1080 is 1,080 lines down.
Up and down, rows, effectively. 1,080 mm-hmm. rows. And 4K is 4,000 columns of pixels.
Ah.
Before you can really, really see the difference in image quality, you need to go up to a display or a television that's about 80 inches diagonal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other problem that they've got, is that if they're talking about Thunderbolt displays, the current size, 27 inches, is pointless.
Yeah, it's not going to... I mean, even with the 1080 screens, you're not going to notice a big difference until you start getting to at least a 42-inch screen. When we were shopping for upgrading televisions, that was one of the things, was they were like, you can buy this one at 1080p. And I'm like, it's 37 inches of screen. You can't tell the difference. I put a Blu-ray in and looked at both of them, and there's no difference at 37. You kind of see a difference at 42. It's not till you get to whatever's the next one up, which I think is 46, that you actually start seeing a difference between 720p and 1080p. So at that point, you know, it does get a little bit ridiculous, and it becomes a saying so feature. You're not buying it because it's actually doing anything for you. You're buying it so that when people look at your setup, you can go, why, yes, that there is a 4K screen.
All clear and accurate. So the current Thunderbolt monitor is 2.5K because it's 2,560 pixels across.
Right, so that's columns.
That's columns. 2,500
columns.
2,500 columns.
And so 1080 is 1,000 plus rows.
Rows, yeah.
So how many columns is 1080 then?
1920. There's 1,920 columns on a 1080p screen.
Ah. So doesn't that make the pixels different shapes?
Well, no, the pixels are the pixels. There's just more of them. The ratio comes from the quantity of them.
Yeah, but...
The pixels are still pixels. Still,
if you've
still
got like
square or round points. 1,000
rows and 2,000 columns,
yeah,
for example, or you've got 1,500 rows and 2,000 columns,
yeah,
that's going to make the pixels a different shape.
It doesn't make the pixels a different shape. It makes the screen a different ratio, yeah.
It makes the whole display show you something different.
Right.
So you're going to end up cropping black bars on the side or something.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like on the old tube televisions. I just called them old. On the previous generation of TVs, before anything like high def was ever an option, there were tube televisions, and when you had a tube television and you had a movie that was not pan and scanned, you got the black bar at the top and at the bottom. And you got that because what you were showing on the screen was a different shape than the actual screen. That's what we're talking about. It would be how much black bar you have.
I don't reckon any of you know that. I reckon you're all making it up. And I don't think any of you actually know what you're talking about.
I actually can tell you it's because the screen is 16:9. Like, that's why the current televisions are more rectangular, where the older ones were more square. Because the old televisions in the old broadcast standard was a 4:3 ratio, and now it's a 16:9 ratio, which doesn't sound like it would be any different, but it totally is.
Everybody
knows that, don't they? Everybody knows that the new telets are oblong and the old ones are square. I'm guessing. I don't know. None of you convinced me very much.
Will, the way to look at it is, it's a magic box with people who live inside who play out little flat plays for you.
And you can get more people stood up because it's wider in a 4K telly.
And I use better makeup so it's clearer.
That's it. There you go.
You can see more fat people.
Yeah. It adds 20 Yay. Pounds to you instead of 10.
Yay, America.
Yeah.
There's lots of help in the chat room coming here from Adam. He's saying HD, full HD, 1080p is 1920 by 1080, as we just said, and 4K is actually 3840 by 2160, according to the TV specifications on Wikipedia.
What about progressive, the interlace then?
That's a totally different piece of technology.
Yeah, I know it is. But what about it? Do you know that then?
They're not talking about it, and I haven't dug into the 4K stuff enough to know.
So you don't know.
Interlacing is
No, I know what they are and how they work. I don't know how that's handled on a 4K television.
Interlacing is frigging with the ratios, isn't it? So if you've got something that's a different ratio, mm-hmm. interlacing will allow it to appear to be normal, but it doesn't because it puts horrible lines across it and squares.
It's how the screen is redrawn. Interlaced is when half the lines are drawn and then the other half of the lines are drawn all the way up and down the screen. So you draw the half that come from the left first, and then an instant later you draw the half that come from the right. The way progressive works is that they're drawn from top to bottom. Generally, when you're watching a film and it actually looks nice, what you're seeing is progressive scan, not interlaced scan. That's what the P and the I mean at the end of 720 and 1080.
Because with the eye, sometimes you can detect exactly what it's like flickering.
Kelly, Kelly, calm down. He's winding you up. Deep breaths.
So I'll tell you.
We know you know, mate.
Yeah, but I have a complex about it because when you go shopping for televisions, I would ask these kind of questions of the people at the shop, and because I'm not Mr. Kelly, they would act like I didn't know what I was talking about.
See, now that's a misogynist. That's a misogynist. See?
Absolutely is.
What is more like is they have no clue what you're talking about.
No, I did that too. I used to do that on purpose. It was fun. If I really didn't like the guy and he was extra jerky, I would start asking questions about things that I knew couldn't be possible. And then they would do that. The only question I got asked, the question I was asked the most consistently when we were shopping for televisions is I would stand in front of the TVs and they would ask me if I was waiting for my husband.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And at one place I actually said, I have a question about the remote for this particular television, because what I want to do is take it and hit you with it about the head and shoulders until you understand that I'm making a purchase.
My next door neighbor used to be into digital hi-fi and DJ and that kind of stuff. And he had incredibly good quality sound equipment. And I wanted a nice little stereo for the kitchen. And I said, but I want something that sounds really good, you know, that kind of fills the space rather than just is tinny and crappy. And he said, right, when you go and buy it, he said, get in there. He said, take something that's yours, take your own CD, stick it in the CD player. He said, and play it and turn it up and turn it right the way up and see if it clips in the last sort of two or three notches on the dial. Yeah.
Yep.
So I went in, I said to the guy, I want a really clear thing. I want to have a try of this. And he said, okay, fine, put this in. And I said, it's for the kitchen. I want a really good crisp sound quality. And I turned this thing up and I was like, nope, that's clipping. And I went through four or five of these things. And eventually I found one and I turned it all the way up and it's absolutely blaring out in the middle of curries. And the guy's got his fingers in his ears and he said, how big's your kitchen?
So I used to do that with DVD players. I say, can I play my content on here just to see what it looks like? Apparently they don't like it when you put porn in there, though.
Yeah, I've heard they frown on it. I used to use Star Wars, though, because with Empire Strikes Back, you can start in Hoth and see what all the different shades of white look like, and then you can take it to space and see what all the different shades of black look like.
Yeah, see, that's really smart.
Plus, you know what it looks like. Yeah, what happened?
I can confirm that if you've got a sahi beer and it's halfway down your throat, when it comes back up, it foams.
Oh, no, see, I just assumed you've been licking the cat and you had a hairball.
We've broken you in.
Oh, I've got a headache now as well.
Oh, no.
I hope you're still under warranty.
Yeah, do you have UNCARE Plus?
Oh, no, I'm void, mate. That warranty was voided years ago.
So who's looking forward to the iTunes Festival?
Now, you can't buy tickets for the iTunes Festival unless you've got an iTunes account. What do you think to that?
I thought they were all done as a lottery. Also.
They were all what, sorry?
They're done as a lottery. You can't just go and buy them. You have to sign up and hope that you're picked to be able to get tickets.
Dan, one of my followers on Twitter, is an absolute Apple hater, but he wants to go to the iTunes Festival. He tweeted out the other day, what's this all about? You can't go to the iTunes Festival unless you've got an iTunes account. WTF.
Right, keep the riffraff out.
So get one. They're free. It's not like it costs you to have an iTunes account.
No, but we can watch them all, can't we?
Yeah, I can.
It's in London, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in London.
They've confirmed the lineup. They're advertising it like Billio. I keep clicking and get rid of the advert though, because I'm not going. So
no, but you can watch them live on your Apple TV or on the iOS app, and
which you need an iTunes account for, and an Apple TV.
Well, 30 days of music if you're into that sort of thing.
It is good. I think it's good value. I think you've got to give up your credit card details, as Kelly says, but it's a free account.
I thought you could just stream it.
Can you? Is it on the Apple's website?
It's on the Apple TV. It's just a app, and you just click on it and watch whatever you want, and watch whatever ones have gone past, I always thought.
Brilliant. But you've got to have an Apple account.
Well, you have an Apple TV. If you've got an iPhone, surely you've got an Apple account anyway.
Exactly. You would hope so.
Whether you want to or not, you sign one up, don't you?
Yeah, but I think Dan's point was he wanted to actually physically try and go to the festival, but he couldn't buy any tickets and he couldn't watch it because he hadn't got an iTunes account.
But you can set up an Apple. You don't need a credit card, I don't think, to set up a...
No, not until you try to buy something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So you can set it up with a gift card, even.
It's nice and retro. We've got Lady Gaga.
Oh, go on, Will. You're not like you to be up with the news.
Jack Johnson.
It's very middle of the road so far, isn't it?
Whatever Lady Gaga's going to do is going to be really impressive.
Who else is there, Will?
The Lumineers.
Good.
Arctic Monkeys. That's it. It's a good lineup, to be fair, isn't it?
Not bad at all.
The thing is, this is showing up my age now, because I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, who the hell are they?
Yeah. I was just going to say, can anyone else name one song by any of those bands?
Carl's looked down the list and knows Elton John.
Hey, Elton John is awesome.
No, I saw him live. You
know,
he's a tosspot.
And at least you know someone, so that's great.
I saw Elton John live at the NEC. I got free tickets, I'm glad to say, because I wouldn't have paid to see the wanker. and he played, and he stood up, and it was like, you're so privileged to be watching me. Thank you very much. And sat down and played again and stood up and said, you're so privileged to be watching me. And it was just like, everyone there was just there to fuel his pockets. I got a real bad impression of it. And he never could. I've seen him a couple of times in the interview and he doesn't come across well. So I think he's a bit of a...
Okay, Kings of Leon. Hair, isn't it? Chic featuring Nile Rodgers, Rizzle Kicks, John Legend, Justin Timberlake, Katy Perry... Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, I'm disappointed I can't go to this.
Batwinch says, what? No Seth Lakeman? I have no clue.
There's no Neil Diamond.
And Adam says, Elton John and the word tosspot. Two words never heard in the same sentence. Mm.
And now it's happened.
Is Gaga on the iTunes Festival? Yes, she is, I think, from what I was just saying.
Yeah, she's one of the top ones at the top. Kings of Leon, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and Justin Timberlake. When you go to the site, those are the four at the top.
Whether you like them or not, they're still big names in music.
Isn't Elton John and Tosspot three words?
No, Tosspot's one word.
No,
but Elton John is two.
John.
No, Elton John is kind of like one of those synonymous things like Madonna. Just like Elton John. You can't say Elton, can you?
You can. How many Elton?
Oh, all right. I'm just trying to cover up.
If you said John, it might be a bit of a problem.
Apparently, I need to get some Seth Lakeman because he's a top folk bunny.
Okay.
Cool. Folk bunny.
Now, I just want to ask you guys something while we're talking about music really briefly. Go on, Ed Sheeran is a thing over there, and he was a thing over there like a couple of years ago, right?
He's great.
Like, I like him, but all of a sudden, everybody over here is going, oh, Ed Sheeran, Ed Sheeran. And I don't understand it because I seem to remember that he's, like, showed up a long time ago. I don't find
He played at the Olympics, so...
Yeah.
And he was around long before that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he's not new. Okay. See, I'm just trying to verify because I try to listen to the stuff. I try to track down things that are on the UK charts because generally you guys have better taste in music than we do. So I was very confused when people were like, oh, this Ed Sheeran guy, he's all new and wonderful. And I'm like, no. So I just wanted to verify. Thank you.
All you've got to do is say, when people say, oh, he's wonderful, he's this new thing, you go, no, he played at the Olympics, the opening ceremony.
I had completely forgotten he played at the
Olympics. Yeah, there you go. See, you've got him.
I remember.
He was brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They pick up all our bandwidth. They've got some fabulous stuff going on. Today is the last day of their summer sale, unfortunately. So if you're in the chat room, you've got the chance. If you're listening to the podcast recorded, then you've got no chance of getting your 30% discount. But don't worry, because all our offer codes are still there. They're all still working. You can get 20% off all of their services, or a lot of their services. All you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, go through, buy your stuff, use the offer codes that we've got, and you can effectively clear your basket. We've got loads of stuff coming up with them. They're going to use us as a case study for their home website. So they want us to say what UK have done for us, and show how we use the setup and all that kind of stuff here, which means I'm going to have to tidy the office. And we're going to have a little promo video on there as well. And if you're into e-commerce, if you're into any of the web stuff that you need, co-location services, hostings, private servers, or shared servers, then you've got to check out UK2, because their prices are good, their customer support's great, and they're a really, really nice bunch of people as well. And there's something coming up in September that I still can't tell you about, but it's going to be cool. Promise. Check out UK2, because they're brilliant. Wonderful, wonderful. Right. It is time for the cool thing, and this cool thing you have got to listen to if you've got any kind of device, but especially if you've got an Apple TV. Start us off, Mr. Madden.
Okay, so this is a service called Unblock Us, or Unblock US, depending on how you want to look at it. And it's a website which you go to, www.unblock-us.com. And what it is it's a sort of, it's like a VPN service, but it's not. It changes the DNS. So what you do is you get your device or your router, if you want all your devices to be affected, and you sign up for this service with your email. You add the information that they give you, i.e. a different DNS address, because you've probably got it pointed at your ISP's DNS, or you're using Google's, which is 8.8.8.8, I think. Mm. And you change it to their DNS, and then you select what country you want to pretend to be in. So, for example, if you want to watch Netflix US, you just do the click down option that they have on the screen, and you pick the US Netflix store, and you are now streaming Netflix to your Apple TV, your iPad, or whatever you got. Or if you're in the US and you want to get to the UK, like iPlayer and things like that, you do exactly the same. You just pretend you're in the UK, and you can see Doctor Who as soon as it comes out, for example.
Kelly.
And it's so you try it out free for 7 days, and then after that it's a bit pricey. It's like £3 a month.
Whole month. So there you go, Kelly. Yeah. You can have iPlayer for £3 a month. You can have the British version of iPlayer. You can get Doctor Who.
I would
the
gladly
day
do that
after it comes up.
It's $5 a month.
Magic. Yeah, $5 here. A month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
7 days to try it out as well, just to make sure it works for you.
Unblock-us.com, and you can watch anything anywhere. And that works. It's not just Apple TV, is it? That works on any device that you've got. You change that DNS, and you are watching US content.
Yep, they've got it on their website. They've got it set up so you can change. It shows you how to do it on various devices, or you can just do it straight into your router, and then everything that passes through your router, unless you tell it an alternative DNS address, will go through their service.
And you can get Hulu and all that kind of stuff, everything that's pure American. Is it, you know, you guys, the Americans here, Kelly and Jeff, if you want to subscribe to something like HBO Go or something like that, could you buy an HBO subscription with a European credit card? Do you think?
The way it works here is that you have to pay it as an additional service on top of your cable service.
Oh, okay.
So you can't just pay for HBO Go. But I do call them about every 2 months or so, and I say, please take my money, because I don't want to pay Comcast any more money than I already do. I just want to pay you so I can have HBO. And they nod and smile, but if enough people did that for long enough, I think they would understand there'd be another revenue stream there, and then they'd do it. the whole, if you guys have been hearing news over here about how one of the major networks is being blocked by Dish customers because of negotiation over the kind of channel packages they sell people, CBS, we have three major networks. We have NBC, ABC, and CBS. And in the New York City area right now, you can't get CBS if you have a Dish network subscription, because Dish and CBS are duking it out over rates and other sorts of things. So what you could do, I think, is if you could hook up with somebody who already had HBO and would be willing to let you use their subscription, then it's possible that you could use it by being in the US with something like Unblock Us.
Right.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That should totally work.
There's 2 points in the chat room here. Bookery's saying, I've lost it now. Where's he? Bookery saying we need a VPN that works for credit cards, which is spot on. And but Bells is saying this sounds really random. I don't know. I think HBO Go is available in Norway, unbundled.
There's or somewhere some place there where is. It is. Yeah,
there is.
So if you go to Norwegian television, you can just buy HBO Go on its own in Norway.
As you should be able to. Everywhere, not just Norway.
I'd buy HBO Go because, I mean, I really, really, really wanted to watch the John Adams series when it was out, but it was only shown in the US and they never released it over here until it came out on Netflix and gone by that point. So I ended up stealing it to watch it, and I didn't want to. I would rather have paid for it, most definitely.
You see, that's a problem. These content producers are very myopic and they don't get that. If they give us ways to give them money, we will do it. And they won't. And for a lot of content, it doesn't matter which side of the Atlantic you're on, but for a lot of content, you can't get it unless you steal it. It's the only way to get it. Mm-hmm. And that's stupid.
It is stupid. Absolutely. And
here's the thing is that there are people who want to go legit. And I understand that. So for me, the reason is because I don't watch a whole lot of other television. So I don't want to have to upgrade my cable package like two notches, which is another like $30 a month or something. I have to pay another $30 a month in order to get the option to pay another, I think, $10, $5 or $10 for HBO. And I'm not going to watch any of that TV in between that I'm having to pay for, which means HBO is costing me $35 a month and I can't justify that. As awesome as Game of Thrones is, I can't swing it. So if I could pay HBO even $20 a month, I would be happy to pay $20 a month. And I understand that subsidies and because they bundle HBO as part of other sorts of subscriber packages. And so it means that when you're paying, you're actually paying for a bunch of other channels and subsidy. And I totally get that because they couldn't afford to film Game of Thrones in Eastern Europe if they didn't have all of these people who were paying for it, you know, over time. And I get that. I get that. I really, really do. But old white dudes in suits want to make money, and it is old white dudes in suits making these decisions. So when they see how happy people are with HBO Go, I want to understand what the reasoning is behind why they won't give that option. I mean, it seems to me what would be the most likely thing for them to do, not the smartest, not the most reasonable, but the most likely is fine. You can have HBO Go and it's going to be $60 a month. That way nobody buys it, and then they go, see, we tried it, and it failed. Now shut up.
We need a worldwide agreement for content, says Dave in the chat room, and he's put afterwards, but I realize it won't never happen.
Which is too bad.
Never say never.
It would be nice.
It's got to.
It will one day.
I mean, region coding is okay. A thing of the past, isn't it?
No, that's what I was going to say. Region 2 DVDs.
Yeah, but I mean, DVDs is a thing of the past as well, though.
People disagree. I understand they're trying really hard with the 3D DVD players, but a lot of people still go buy a DVD. Like, the section in most stores that is DVDs hasn't gotten any smaller.
Well, for a lot of people, even with a Blu-ray player, they'll go buy a DVD because it costs less. And mm-hmm. a DVD player will do upscaling. And so they pop a DVD in and they think, well, it looks good enough. I like how it looks. It's fine. And so as long as people are willing to spend that money on mm-hmm. the DVD, I don't see them going away.
And also media, I can hand it to Jeff and go, Jeff, this movie was awesome. Go watch it.
That's true.
And I can't loan a movie on iTunes that way.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I don't do that kind of thing anyway. So, I mean, for me, I bought Iron Man 3 the other night and watched it in Olympus Has Fallen. I just, it's too easy to buy it in Apple. Yeah, it's dead easy. Yeah.
I find it easy.
You know,
buying old films that I like, that I own on DVD, in iTunes, just because it's easy.
So you're replenishing your catalogue?
Yeah, pretty much. I think.
Why aren't you ripping?
DVD is at its day.
Yeah, but why aren't you ripping what you've currently got? Because if you can't be honest. It's not that hard, mate. Handbrake. There's got presets for Handbrake that'll do it.
And
for
there's
you.
A cocktail at the end.
But if it's on the cloud and you're sitting in front of your Apple TV and you haven't got your old system set up with like a media server and stuff, which I think is again old news. I do see people just, well, I don't know, whatever.
I got 650 movies under the desk here on a 12 terabyte drive that disagree with you, but
yeah, but I don't know. Maybe me just as the common man, as it were. I really haven't got the time to rip 150 movies, or I got something like 500 DVDs, and I can't be asked. I'll probably only watch what 2%, 3% of those. On a sort of a semi-regular.
Have you got that logged on your database?
I've got them on a database, as it happens. Yes.
What I think
they're
it is
all catalog numbered. Yes.
Love you, Gwil.
It's cheap enough, I think. To think, I remember that film. I'd really like to watch it again. I'll just buy it, and you know, for the sake of like £6 or £7, you know, you've got it. It's in the cloud and.
The only thing I
would say is I've put my faith in the cloud, and there's a horror film called When the Lights Went Out. Fantastic. Really enjoyed it. It's just been deleted from my system. I didn't download it. I trusted in the cloud, and now it doesn't exist anymore. And I contacted Apple, and they said, no, it's tough. You know, if you didn't back it up, then you can't watch it again. Which to me doesn't seem quite right.
What I think it is we've all got this sort of remnant feeling about we have to hold these films and these TV shows that we've got, because it wasn't that long ago where if you missed it being on telly, that's it. Mm-hmm. You couldn't see it again.
No.
And we've got to get beyond that, and we have to realise that this media eventually will always be there. So if you want to watch it, it will be out there somewhere for you to download and stream.
I've got a ton of movies.
Will just told you that it just happened to him.
No, it means it won't be on that.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
That they lost the licensing deal. That's all that means on that one, which is unfortunate. But it's gone somewhere else.
But I've got movies that I spent time ripping and putting on my drive that are on Netflix anyway in HD. And I've also got the Dexter. I bought all the Dexter DVDs and ripped them and put them on the server. And it's only 3 episodes left as well. 3 episodes. And I've got my Dexter rat up somewhere. I need to put that on next week. Rob Lewis sent me. I've got all the Dexter stuff here. And that's all ripped and backed up. And the first 4 seasons of Dexter are already on Netflix, and they're growing rapidly. So,
doesn't it annoy you when you bought a film, right? And you've spent a tenner on it or whatever in iTunes. Then it appears on Netflix. You're like, you bastard.
Well,
can't you just hide that from me,
please? You look at Breaking Bad. I was this close the other week to pulling the trigger on buying all of the Breaking Bad seasons up to this point, because I watched them all. I was all up to date with it. And I thought, no, I can't. I'll do it next time. Next time I'm in, there might be a price drop in 6 months or something, so I'll leave it now. And I went home, and Carl, the following week on the show, says, yeah, Breaking Bad's shown, it's on Netflix 2 hours after it's been shown in the US. Unbelievable. And I nearly dropped. 2 hours.
Oh, don't you know this, Kelly?
Breaking Bad is on Netflix 2 hours after it's shown.
I watch it live because I can't wait that long. But holy crap, 2 hours. That's awesome.
If only there was a way for you could get to UK Netflix.
If only. Is it pointless doing any more picks? Because everyone's going to pick unblock-us.com. Jeff, what have you got for us as a cool thing? I'm aware we pounced on you here, so.
No, that's okay. And your timing's perfect because I'm going to have to bail in a couple minutes anyhow for a meeting. Desk Connect. REX, the guy or the kid at the time that did the awesome jailbreak stuff, he's back and he has a set of apps out, one for the Mac, one for iOS, called Desk Connect. And it's like the most simple, slick way to move content back and forth between all of your devices. And so you can do files, you can do links from web pages, your clipboard contents, pretty much anything you can think of. You can move them back and forth between your Mac and your iOS devices. And they're free, available through the App Store and Mac App Store.
Excellent.
And that's Desk Connect.
I think Wrighty's doing a review on those in the next few weeks. So, and I think he's played with it and said he's very, pretty impressed.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Mm, excellent. Good pick. Kelly, what have you got? Thanks very much, Jeff. If you need to pop off, don't worry, mate.
Yep, I have to
go. Cheers, buddy. Do appreciate it.
See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Kelly, what have you got for us, mate?
I'll pick up the one that I actually use at the moment, which is an app called Ytopia. And it's at ytopia.net, and I use it as a personal VPN for $50 a year. And the reason that I like it is because if I'm working remotely, so I go to the coffee shop, whatever that may be, sometimes it's Starbucks, sometimes it's not, but I can use anybody else's Wi-Fi, but I can make sure that my connection isn't something that is easily sniffable and therefore not easily hackable. So if I want to do stuff while I'm out in public and not on my own personal secured network, then this makes it a lot easier.
Excellent.
So that's going to be my pick. It's related. I believe you could probably use it for what did Erica call it? Geo-neutering, where it sort of frees you up from your actual location to feed whatever location you desire to someone else. I haven't done that. I have mostly used it just as a security feature because if I'm traveling, it gives me a lot of options. Or if I'm just working someplace else because I want to change of scenery, then I'm able to do so securely and I don't have to worry about somebody sniffing my traffic and seeing what I'm up to.
How does Unblock US work within VPNs? Or is there conflict there?
Well, it is kind of a VPN. It's just all you're doing is changing the DNS. So it's
but it's not—it's not securing, is it? The connection.
It's not securing. But then spoofing. You're not doing anything illegal on it.
No. Okay. Good pick, mate. Good, thank you, Mr. Green. What do you have for us?
It's an iOS one, and it's called. What's it called? I can't remember. I'm going camping tomorrow.
Good lad, mate. Where are you going camping?
A place called Talgarth, which is just on the... it's in Wales, but it's not massively over the border. And, there you are.
What have you got for us? What's your iOS app? Dawling, Greenie.
It's called I'm Going Camping Tomorrow. Wasn't that what it was?
It's called Those Days. Those were the days, my friend. And it's so you know. Have I picked this before?
No.
Great. Called Those Days, and it only costs whatever, a quid or something. And you know when you take a photo, and every time you take a photo, it's obviously date and time stamped, and it's a calendar that shows you the photos you took on the day. So it shows you a calendar view, and it's a bit like one of those, you know, those calendars you can buy that you can choose photos to put on different pages.
Doesn't iPhoto do that? You can group by days.
iOS 7.
iPhoto does that, so iOS, to do it in iOS is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice. So, and it also integrates with your calendar as well. So, you know, I'm working in London that day, and you've entered that, and maybe I use Google a lot. So it's got, you know, I'm working in London this day, and when I go to the day, like in the past, it'll show me the photos I've taken on that day, and I can sort of reference and say, ah, I was a nun that day, and it'd give a description of what I was doing. Really good. Because I think photos and time are quite closely related, aren't they? It's sort of from an emotional point of view. If you look at your photo collection and you can't reference it to a time point, the photos still mean obviously what they are. But if you can reference them to a time point easily, they might mean a little bit more. And so you can look at a photo that was taken in October and you see, oh, you know, it was a bit cloudy or foggy or whatever, or I was with these people. That's it, really. What do you think?
Sounds good. Sounds good. To do it in iOS is quite impressive because it always did it in PhotoStream, in iPhoto. But
yeah, but even that was a bit rubbishy, wasn't it? It didn't give you a calendar view, did it?
iPhoto was absolutely. I absolutely crunched iPhoto because I put a whole pile of photos in of me going back to when I was 7 years old. Put a whole pile of photos of Ellis in, and those of you that were here before the start of the show will know that Ellis looks somewhat like me, and he looks even more like me when I was seven. So I tagged all the photos that were me as seven, and then I tagged Ellis in his photos at the similar kind of age, and then iPhoto went to try and find every picture that was the same as those two names, and oh, man, what a mess.
There used to be a Flickr pool of face recognition fail that you could go and look at, and it would be like, this picture of me, it thought it was my granddad, and it thought this sign was my cousin Jimmy, and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the thing is, it's because it's me and Ellis look like each other at the same age, very much. It really threw it. Jim in the chat room is going on about announcing the competition winner. I announced it last night in the big show, so if you want to know who won, go and check out the big show. And you should listen to the big show because it's a good thing and it's not Apple. It's a good show. My pick, I got two things. The first one I want to say is TechSmith. Now, TechSmith sponsored the bash, so we love them anyway. But I want to say they haven't bought this pick, not by any stretch of the imagination. I use Snagit. I've got free licenses from Betsy for using Snagit, which I regularly just come across, I've got Snagit, I can use that, and it saves my bacon. And yesterday, I was making some forms for the rugby club because it's our registration week this weekend for players, and we've got a form, and I was just like, I've only got a printed copy of this form. I haven't got another one. So I scanned it, used the PDF OCR system, and then I stuck it in Snagit, and Snagit just selected everything, made it look nice, and dumped it out as a fresh form. I love Snagit. So Snagit from TechSmith is my pick because it saved my arse yesterday. And the other person that I'd like you to support if you possibly can, please, because he's just an all-round super fantastic bloke. He does international shipping and UK shipping of all print media. This guy, Rob, owns a company called Buy My Print at buymyprint.co.uk. I think it redirects to printcmyk.co.uk. But buymyprint.co.uk is Rob, who does all of the printing for me, for my business. And he also does a pile of free printing from our rugby club and supports us and sponsors us by giving it away free of charge. He's got some amazing stuff. This guy can make wallpaper for you of any image that you've got. He can do those pointer display stuff that you take to exhibitions and so on. The big 6x8 boards that are only 60 quid a piece with your logo on and that kind of thing, right the way down to doing a simple business card and packaging it off to you. You can pay him online. You can do the whole thing via the e-commerce website that he's got up at buymyprint.co.uk, and he'll just ship it straight out to you when it's done. And it is A1 print quality. He's a really, really good guy. Really, really, really good quality. So please, if you can, go and support Rob because he does a shed load for my rugby club and does it free of charge. He's a lovely, lovely guy. Thank you very much if you do support him. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr.?
Can I say before you move on?
Go on.
About Snagit.
Oh, yeah.
I use it all the time. So if you're a web developer and you've got something on the internet and you want to grab it, a really nice, high quality one.
Yep.
When you put it on the web browser, if it goes below the scrolling, if
it
you
still
like,
gets it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Does, it's a complete nightmare. So if somebody says, well, you know, what have you done? I'd like to see what you've designed. You can use Snagit, and it automatically scrolls down the whole of the screen, even if it's off the scroll bar, if you know what I mean, and stitches it all together automatically.
Brilliant. Gets the whole page, not the whole screen.
It's a whole page. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It works really well. I use it all the time.
Fantastic. It is excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
You can hold me on Twitter at Clausio101, and hopefully there'll be a Here and There show this week.
Yeah, righto. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I got to
yeah.
say, I'm not Where sure my go? I'm not sure my heart could take a Mac, a British Mac, and a Here and There show in the same week. Well,
during this show, during this very show, Missy has tweeted me and says, like, she's trying to make it. So.
Yeah, trying. See, note the word trying.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Missy is trying. Tell her I said that. You can get Jeff Gamut at jgamut on Twitter, and also you can get Fresh Brewed Tales, and of course he's at the Mac Observer, where it's his day job, and he comments on Mac brilliantly. We got him in the wrong show, haven't we? We got him in the big show every week instead of the Mac show, but he brings a glot to that as well. Ms. Gamont, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and you can also find me on Angry Mac Bastards as a regular host, and you can find me on the comics show right here on the British Tech Network.
Yeah, you've just done another one, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
I took a bit of time posting episode 10, which is 9, but it's 10, because I'd forgotten I hadn't done it. I do apologise, mate.
That's okay.
Wrapped up with work and thought I'd done it, and I hadn't. So when you get that one over to me, we'll post it.
Yeah.
No, I know. Rubbish. Bloody rubbish on my part. And last, but by no means least, Mr. William Green, where are you?
Well, you can find me sort of on the internet at britishmat.com. Twitter is British Mac, but also on the 10th of September, I'll be going to the Elmug meeting
for
the announcement. Are you coming?
I will be. I should be there without a problem. Also, it's Elmug's summer party this week. They're meeting in Green Park, just outside Buckhouse. So if you want to go there, look on the website for Elmug and they'll tell you where it's all at, and you can just turn up. All comers welcome, I think. Enjoy. We're back again next week. Max Shell will be on as normal. Hopefully there'll be a bit more news, but don't hold your breath, eh?
Never gonna give Dawn up. Never gonna let Dawn down.
Never